We're looking here in Psalm 150. Little did we think when we began in Psalm 1 that we would be to Psalm 150 this quickly. I'm not sure of the date when we began, but I'm sure that the Lord has been faithful to lead us thus far. And if the Lord has led us thus far, He will lead us to the end. That's one of the glorious things about the faithfulness of God, is that He does not do things in a haphazard way, nor does He play games with men and seek to lead them down a road only to play a joke on them. Man that's fled to Christ for refuge, the Scripture says, will never be ashamed, because Christ is the one who causes men to call upon His name. And if He causes men to call upon His name, He will surely keep them unto the end. What a glorious Savior He is. There is no happenstance in the salvation of God's people. There's no chance to it. There's no maybes. But it's a certainty. Because if Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to remove the sin of sinners, then those sinners for whom He died shall surely be saved. And that's a glorious thing. You know, if a man knows himself to be a sinner, that's a wonderful thing, is it not? I mean, what if he did not die for sinners? And a man finds himself to be a sinner. Now, a man that doesn't know himself to be a sinner or doesn't really care, nothing to him one way or the other. But the man who knows himself to be a sinner, when he hears that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for sinners, that they might be saved, that's a glorious thing. The gospel is for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what a glorious thing it is. And so, we come here to Psalm 150. There's not a Psalm 151. This is the last of the Psalms according to the purpose of God. And just like the Psalms have an end, so too do all things that God has made. He's the beginning and the end. And all things fulfill His purpose. In that interlude to which He has been pleased to put His creation. What a glorious thing. He's the beginning. In the beginning. That which was from the beginning. What a glorious truth that is. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, that sums up the activity that the saints of God are exhorted to perform. What ought the people of God to do? Praise the Lord. That's what David or Paul said. said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's what this psalm's about, giving glory to God. Now, an admonition and an exhortation to praise the Lord must have a beginning or an object. And that object is seen for us in the very first psalm. And I want to read the first psalm. And these are the bookends of the psalms. The first psalm and the last psalm. The last psalm exhorts us to praise the Lord. And the first psalm tells us who it is that is to be praised. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, who is that first psalm speaking of? Now, some have thought that this psalm is a bit of advice and instruction unto men as to how they ought to walk. And I certainly wouldn't fault that, because surely that is true. There is an application wherein this psalm can be applied to men. But this psalm, as all the psalms, has as its object and center point the Lord Jesus Christ. For who else has done what is said in this psalm? I mean, who has fulfilled this? Who is that one who's blessed by what he has done? See, you've been blessed in spite of what you've done. Now, a lot of people don't think that. They think they can do stuff that's going to cause them to be blessed. But the blessing of God precedes the obedience of the children of God. I mean, it's His blessing that causes men to walk in obedience. And so, the man who's blessed walking not in the counsel of the ungodly is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He walked among the ungodly men of this world, those that despised him, despised his way. And men are no different today than they were then. Men despise the way of God. We see it on every hand as men seek to do exactly what Brother Thomas read there in the last verse. You know, we make God a liar when we say that we have no sin, or when we look at the sinfulness of our lives and the practices that we have in our lives, and we say, well, these things are okay. These things are not sinful. I mean, we look at our society in general, and that's basically what our society says, is it not? Well, you know, we've got to be tolerant of all these different things that go on and understand how people are. Well, yes, we do understand how people are. People are sinners. Every man born in this world is indeed a sinner, a rebel against God. Now, the rebellion of men might manifest itself in many different ways, but all of the ways of men are wicked. And so when a man says, well, I'm all right, I want to go this way, even though God says don't go that way, but if I want to go that way and I feel like I'm compelled to go that way, it's okay, and you ought to not say nothing to me about that. Well, there's nothing we can do to change men at all, in the way of men and the men's hearts. There's not one thing in the world that all the counseling or whatever that men set out to do is going to change one man's thought. Not going to do it. But you see, the Word of God stands forever true. And it doesn't make any difference. What men say is okay. It's not okay if God doesn't say it's okay. And so, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he companied with sinners, but he didn't stand in the way of sinners, did he? I mean, he didn't embrace their sin. He knew they were sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he had many people among the harlots and the publicans. He said the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees. Why? Because they knew themselves to be sinners. And that's who he came to save. And so it is that he didn't stand in the way of sinners, nor did he sit in the seat of the scornful. He didn't go along with what they said. Men say, well, you know, the word of God, that's too strict. Well, it doesn't fit our lifestyle. See, our lifestyle is important. Our lifestyle is supposed to be determined by us. Well, no, the Lord set forth what the lifestyle of his people needs to be. He declared it. It's not up to men to decide what that is, nor to say to God, well, you made me this way, so that's how I am. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? No, it doesn't make any difference. See, what men are inclined to do does not cause that to be a good thing. I mean, if a man was going to say, because I'm inclined to something, that's going to be good, then what would we not do? I mean, we're inclined to all sorts of things. But God's way is the right way. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Lord, what can I do to serve thee? Help me. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What fruit have you ever borne? All mine is either rotted and fell off the tree before it was ripe, or it never made any. But you see, the Lord's fruit, he causes that fruit to come forth and to bear in abundance. Because it's his fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. How oft is our leaves withered on the vine? Something we thought was so grand only turned out to be nothing. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we would like to prosper in everything that we do, but we don't, do we? Why? Because we're imperfect. It's the nature that we have. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And dear brethren, we are indeed like that chaff which the wind driveth away, except for the mercy of God. See, we would be blown away in a moment, except for his mercy and kindness. Oh, that the Lord might give us lips to praise him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. It's impossible to praise God without praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a man cannot know God except through Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of the Father unto men. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he has created all things, and into whose hand all power has been given. And so it is unto him that we render praise. Now there's all sorts of religions in the world claiming to praise God. But I'm telling you, apart from praising the name of Jesus Christ, a man cannot praise God. He can praise his idea of God, and men have been doing that from the beginning. That's why the Lord said, make unto thee no graven image. Thou shalt have no other gods before my face. Don't bring them into my presence. And this is what, you know, sets forth the folly of the thought of men, that all men can walk together in unity in this world. The Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace in the world, but I came to set the mother and the father against the children. And, you know, I came to bring variance. Why? Because the Lord would manifest the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, and no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name worthy of praise. How do we know that? Because it's a name which is above every name. And that's the name that is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary, that is in the holy place. Because that's where He dwells. He dwells in the high and holy place. The lofty one. He inhabited eternity. He dwells in the light to which no man can approach. He only hath immortality dwelling there. Men cannot come into His presence. Now, most men think they can approach God anytime they get ready and on their own terms. The Scripture says not so. Can a man by searching find out God? I mean, He's holy. Remember when Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. He didn't say I sat down with Him and we had a conversation. And I told Him, you know, all things I needed and what my problems were and how He could do things better and, you know, if He'd just do this, that, and the other, everything would work out better. No, He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. And the seraphim surrounded Him and ceased not day and night to cry out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And what did Isaiah do? He said, oh, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people with unclean lips. You see, he knew the separation that there was between him and God. When Daniel saw him by the river Kibar, and he said, all my comeliness was it turned in me into corruption, and I fell upon my face. John, when he saw him in the book of the Revelation, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Why? Because of the glory that belongs to him. He's high and lifted up. He's set apart from men. Men cannot approach unto God. Try as they might. They can't do it through their intellect. The Lord said, He had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They can't come there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. That place where He is set apart. See, praise is a solemn thing. Now, it's a joyful thing, indeed. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. See, His praise is, the praise that's given unto God is not a frothy thing. Now, when we consider that which Christ has done in our behalf, we are filled with joy. And that joy should be expressed. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But keep in mind that this one whom we praise is the eternal God, whose glory fills the heavens. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He makes the wind His wings. He's the glorious God. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago, how the Lord created the earth in a firmament. a firmament is a space. Now, where do we, he said, praise him in the firmament of his power. Well, where is that? It's wherever he wants to be. I mean, the firmament of God's power is that place where he is. Now, and this, you know, sometimes men think that they form the sum total of God's concern. I mean, we're just a speck. The Lord is eternal. He has no bounds. And we live in the creation that he has made and revealed to us. Well, I don't know what the Lord... Some people say, well, they know everything the Lord has done. No, I don't know what all the Lord has done. I know what the Lord has revealed. See, the secret things belong to God. The things that are revealed belong to us. He's far greater than our imagination. You know, I mean, He's done more than what we can see or what we can ever know. Some people say, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll know all things. No, you'll never know all things. You'll only ever know what God's pleased to show you, because you couldn't contain what it is of all knowledge. But all the knowledge that the Lord has seen fit to revealed to us is found in Jesus Christ. You don't need to know anything else. See, a man doesn't need to know anything else except that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. That's the only thing a man needs to know. And that's a glorious knowledge when it's given to a man who knows himself to be a sinner. What a wondrous Savior he is. The firmament of his power. All power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not partial, but all. Belongs to him, the beginning and the end. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. His mighty acts. The Lord has seen fit to set forth in the scripture many mighty acts that he's done. We're to praise him for those things. But you know, I think many times the greatest acts that the Lord has performed in the earth, we don't praise him enough for. The fact that he has saved sinners is one of the greatest, if not the greatest act that he's ever performed. Sent his own son into the world to die for that reason. The mighty acts of God. Oh, let us praise him. Let's never be reticent. Let's never be slow to praise him for his mighty acts, that which he has done for us. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then he goes through a list of ways in which men might praise him. The sound of the trumpet, the psaltery and harp, the timbrel, dance, praise him, stringed instruments, organs, loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. I'm not going to attempt to set forth what all of these might represent, but these are musical instruments, and the Lord's given music unto men. Now, music is not necessarily that which always comes from an instrument of something that men play with their hands, but it can be, and it is, and the Lord ordained these things in the Old Testament, but most especially. Now, it is true we don't have any mention of these things in the New Testament except in those things that were seen, the harp, that was in the heavens. And I believe, and I think this is true, that it's not going to be a harp that men are playing. You know, you see these pictures where men sitting around on clouds strumming on a harp. I don't believe that's what he means. But he gave every man a harp, a golden harp, a sacred harp, the mouth to praise him. That's what his praise is unto. And we shall indeed, through the ages to come, play upon that harp. We shall praise him forever. But in all these things, whatever we have, and whatever talent the Lord has given us, what I believe he's saying here is, let's use it unto the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If all you can do is bang on a cymbal, then bang on the cymbal. Do that. Now, I think you could probably do more than that, but nonetheless, I mean, whatever. You see, there is nothing that the Lord has made that he has not made for his glory. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. But that was not by happenstance. It was according to the foreordained purpose of Almighty God. The Lord raised up wicked men to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used them unto his glory. Even as all things in this world shall redound unto the glory of God. Let everything that hath breath, he says, praise the Lord. See, because a man is wicked does not mean that he does not have the obligation to praise the Lord. Now, he will not do it. At least in his knowledge he will not do it, but he will praise the Lord. Every beast of the field shall praise the Lord. The scripture says the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And I've shared with you how years ago, walking down the road one day and thinking about some things and the scripture, I looked up in the trees and the wind was blowing, these oak trees. And these leaves and these trees were just doing that. And that scripture came to my mind. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Oh, dear brethren, the Lord has made a wondrous creation. And he has loved that creation. And he's created all things for his purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, that's all that's in the world, is sinners. But sadly, many will never acknowledge that fact. And they will never be saved. Oh, let's praise him. Because you see, even in the destruction of the wicked, the Lord Jesus Christ will have glory. They are not a testament to his failure, as some have said. They are a testament to his power. They are a testament to his judgment. They are a testament to his glory. He will destroy the wicked. That's what we read there in Psalm 1, did we not? I mean, let's read it again. Bears reading. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Let everything that hath breath. Do you have breath? I mean, get you a mirror out and put it under your nose, and if you see two little circles, that means you've got breath. And if you have that, then it is your obligation to praise the Lord. He's worthy of all praise. Let everything praise him. May the people of God most assuredly praise him with their whole heart, gladly. Oh, what a wondrous thing it is to praise the Lord. No, I can't think of a more pleasant occupation than to praise the Lord. Oh, what a wondrous thing.